Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of March 31, 2023. This week we pray for our emergency workers, firefighters, police, EMTs, doctors, nurses, and support staff who work to protect, serve, and heal, and many others. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Our next reading is from Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Our next reading is from John chapter 12. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. The following are the readings for our discussion. Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking, when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Our next reading is from Mark chapter 10. And they were on the road, going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise." And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And our final reading is from John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Christ is risen, but before he rose, he was crucified, died, and was buried. We continue our series, The 12 Who Followed Him to Jerusalem, and in this one, we focus on James and John, the sons of Zebedee. This message is called Something Bigger Than Ambition. There's a helpful book on leadership in the church called Pastors and Elders by Reverend Timothy Meck. In our congregation, what are generally called elders are deacons, but generally speaking, these are the lay leaders who help to supervise our worship and doctrine in the congregation. Pastor Meck lays out the difference between authority and power. Unless we are talking about God, power is the kind of thing that must always be taken in this world. Power can be a precarious thing. It can last moments or until one grows weak enough that it is obvious that he or she is no longer in charge. Authority is a very different kind of thing. When it comes to leaders, authority is always given. It cannot be taken. It is bestowed on a person out of respect. Authority is conferred on a pastor when he is called by the congregation. Authority is conferred on deacons when they are elected by the congregation to serve. Power is also usurped. So not only is it generally taken by force, but a person who may have legitimate authority can go beyond the bounds of that authority illegally, encroaching or infringing on the authority of others. Taking power begins with ambition. When Adam and Eve fell into the trap of the serpent, eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the serpent told Eve, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Adam and Eve did not object. They were told they would be like God, and so their disobedience seems to have sprouted from a covetous ambition. They coveted that which did not belong to them, and apparently because they wanted to be their own gods, fulfilling their own destiny. In their ambition, they sought to take power. But all true power and authority belong to God. When it comes to God and power, God is almighty. Power cannot really be taken from God unless he gives power. The highest king above all kings, maker of heaven and earth, to him belong all power and glory, all might and authority. John was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved, meaning that he was a very close friend. We have close friends too, and sometimes we hope they might be able to give us a leg up on everyone else. If they're able to get us into an exclusive place or get us special tickets, we might look to them for help. James and John witnessed the transfiguration. They were privileged to see an incredibly important event where Moses and Elijah point to Jesus as Messiah. And if that weren't enough, they heard the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus informs them of something really important, something which boggles their minds. Mark chapter 10, "And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise.'" Jesus is saying a pretty alarming thing here. It is almost like James and John ignored him, because this is what follows. "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory.' Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit in my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared.'" You may see things differently, but I see that as ambition. Talk about tacky timing. It is as if they're thinking, since you're going to do all these things, maybe we ought to go ahead and ask this now. Jesus informs them that this is out of his hands, and he indicates that they will suffer plenty on this earth for being in Christ. We may want power. We may want to look good in front of everyone. But the values of the kingdom are different than the values of life on this earth. This is how Jesus explains it. "And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What Jesus spoke of was a thing called servant leadership. They're folks who like having power because they can lord it over others. There are people who think that once they are in power, they do not have to pay their bills. They do not have to take care of the little people that got them there. There are people who like the idea of ordering everyone else around. Yet, the Son of Man came to serve, and the greatest service that he gave was giving his life for our salvation. God shows how he cares for us and loves us by giving his Son that we might live, and he did this while we were still sinners. Jesus is perfectly obedient to the will of the Father, and it is the Father's great pleasure to give all authority to Jesus. Some people cannot be trusted with authority. They will abuse it. They do not love people or have their best interests in mind. This is not Jesus. He loves us and is a good shepherd. He invites us to humble ourselves and put his authority over our interests and preferences to join him in the good task of sharing him with the people in our lives. You will remember that John would later be the one that Jesus asked to care for his mother, doing the work that Jesus would have done if he were on earth, caring for his mother, honoring his mother, as it says in the fourth commandment. At the end of Matthew, chapter 28, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" Secure that Jesus loves us and has been given all authority, we are comforted to know that he doesn't just leave us. His promise carries forward forever, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He really is with us for as long as life continues on this earth and forevermore. Will you pray with me? Lord, Heavenly Father, teach us to love others and care for them as you have loved us. God, it is too natural for us to turn inward upon ourselves, to live in selfishness. Help us to use the gifts you give to care for others, loving them even as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with our emergency workers, firefighters, police, EMTs, doctors, nurses, and support staff who work to protect, serve, and heal. We pray that they may rightly use their gifts to honor you in their service while caring for others. We pray for those who work to repair and maintain roads and infrastructure, for those who work in construction and in needful and useful industry, for semi-drivers and pilots everywhere, that they would honor you with their gifts as they seek to build and help others. We pray your protection upon them. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with those requiring healing of every kind, that they may find healing as they look to Jesus, their Savior, our great physician and healer. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verses this day come from John chapter 12, starting at verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, changeless be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Mid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold soul and stream shall o'er me, Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul.